Thank you for joining this worship service of St. Andrew Lutheran Church as recorded on Sunday, January 20, 2019, for the second Sunday after Epiphany. The Old Testament reading is Isaiah chapter 62 verses 1 through 5. The psalm for the day is chapter 36 verses 5 through 10 read responsively. The New Testament reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 1 through 11. The Gospel is John chapter 2 verses 1 through 11. Presiding and preaching is Pastor Jen Collins. Assisting with worship is Pastor Gary Brandenburg. We join the service as the confession and forgiveness is concluding.
I am released from the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to us our forgiveness of sins and our release. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The gift of the Holy Spirit are ours forever. Amen.
If you have brown take our circle. Okay? Everybody can take a step back. You want to come on over here? Come on over here. Yeah. We need our circle. If you have curly hair, take one step into the circle. All right. You can take a step back. All right? If you have short hair, take two steps into the circle. Take two steps back. If you go to church at St. Andrew, take one step into the circle. If you have a friend from West South Africa, take two steps into the circle. Oh, let's go back and stand back in the circle. So we have a lot of things in common, don't we? Right? And we have a lot of things that are different about us, don't we? Well, actually, we all have friends in Zaire, South Africa. So that's our sister congregation. And one of the biggest things that we have in common is that we all worship Jesus. And so maybe some of you have had friends from South Africa stay at your house. I know that some of you have. And I'm really excited because I'm really the offering today is going to be for our friends from South Africa. I looked up how warm it is there today. And it's 85 degrees in Cirrus today. Doesn't that sound really warm and good? One of the things that's different about us is it's their summertime right now. So they get to enjoy a really warm weather while we get to be nice and cool. But I give thanks to God for the cold that reminds us that our weather changes. And so when we think about our partners in Cirrus, we've got people all the way on the other side of the world that are just like us. Even though we're all different from each other, we all worship Jesus. We're all part of this church. So the noisy offering today is going to go for them. And there are cans over there. We're going to collect the noisy offering now, so you can take a can. And maybe if you're a part of the civic group, you could share a can, because enough for everyone. And if you want, you can kind of walk around and, here, come with me. Let's share. Come with me.
I will not take silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. until the congregation shines out light from the dawn and the salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall have a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, for your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called by the light is in her, and your land married. And the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall the groom marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, shall the Lord your God rejoice over you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me as we read Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10, responsibly by whole verses. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the star mountains, your justice like the great deep. You save humankind and animals, O Lord.
How precious is your love, O God, all people take refuge under the shadow of your wings.
Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. Word of the Lord.
When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, he
did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. At the end of 3 weeks traveling in Kenya, a family that was hosting us threw a party in our honor and slaughtered a goat, throwing a feast on our behalf. The men took care of the cleaning, preparing, and the roasting of the meat. The women made us traditional flatbread, chapati, which is a bit like naan, but slightly different. We had plantains and greens and all kinds of fresh fruit. We had mangoes and bananas. And there was even an 8-year-old that ran into the village to get a crate full of sodas, orange, Fanta, and Coke, so that we didn't have to drink the water. Our host teased us with an appetizer, a Kenyan delicacy, roasted termites, which were only edible when I told myself to think that I was eating burnt popcorn. But eat them I did because the ethic of hospitality is central in Kenya, and I did not want to refuse their generosity. The word in Kiswahili is karibu. It's a common greeting, and it says it all. You are more than welcome. You are home. You are a part of us. So to be welcomed in that way, to be lavished with more than you could ever hope for, more than you could ever need or want, from a rather unexpected source, is something that I will not soon forget. Their generosity had an impact on my life, and it changes the way that I think about generosity and hospitality and welcome yet today. Jesus turns massive amounts of water into wine at this wedding. While the miracle itself is fascinating and mysterious and joyful, the point of the story is about so much more than the chemical makeup of the water that is turned into wine. Or whatever happened between the time when Jesus said, "Draw some out," and the ladle hit the lips of the chief steward and he tasted the best wine. Rather, I'd like to focus to share a different focus with you today about that miracle. And the focus is that the miracle of the water turned to wine was abundant. God's blessing through Jesus was abundant. It was lavish. If you do the math, those 6 stone water jars that were used for purification rituals were filled to the brim, and each had the capacity to hold 20 or 30 gallons of water. Now, can you imagine lugging 180 gallons of water? Can you imagine how your body would feel? What it would be like every time you had to go back to the well to fill up a bucket again so that you could fill those jars to the brim like Jesus said? Or could you imagine being at a party with 180 gallons of wine? That's a lot of wine. Sometimes we get this idea that those jars are very small, but they are not. Those jars are massive, and so is God's grace. It's so abundant, it overflows. It's extravagant and lavish. In the Gospel of John, this miracle, Jesus turning the water into wine, is the first thing that he does right out of the gate. So after he's baptized, after he calls the disciples to follow him, we do not have healing. We do not have a feeding of thousands. It's not a rebuke of anyone. It's not even a lesson or a sermon. It's a sign that demonstrates that Jesus can do something, to use his mother's words, about a situation of scarcity. And Jesus does. To ponder the abundance of the miracle, it's important to consider the context of a wedding in that tiny town of Cana in Galilee at that period of time in our history. Given the climate, given the lack of clean water, given the number of guests that were likely to be at that wedding and the duration of that wedding feast, the lack of wine may have meant a few things. It could have brought shame on that family. It could have underprovided for the guests. Or it could have indicated that that couple had little support in their marriage. So not only was the potential for shame part of their negligence, hospitality, and part of that context, but the culture surrounding weddings was communal. At a wedding these days, you show up and there are cocktails or a plated meal or a beautiful buffet. But back then, wedding feasts were supported by people that came. So think glorified potluck, but for days, where people in the couple's family and their community would bring both food and drink. So think about it. If the wine ran out, it's also a possibility that this particular wedding couple was under-supported or isolated and didn't have enough for their guests because they didn't have any guests in the first place. So this massive amount of wine is a demonstration of what the gospel writer John laid out in the prologue, that from his fullness, from the abundance of Christ, we have all received grace upon grace upon grace. That's the kind of abundance Jesus is demonstrating. Large jars full, grace upon grace for everyone. A couple of weeks prior to our feast in rural Kenya, we had visited the coast of the Indian Ocean. And walking through the marketplace, a banana salesman started coming up to us, and he shared a conversation with us about what life is like for him. And we purchased a bunch of bananas from him to support him. And he said to me, "You are beautiful and you are rich. Will you marry me?" Pastor Gary said in the first service, it's a good thing you didn't say yes. I was in shock over the fact that I had just been proposed marriage. My first response, though, surprised me even more, because it wasn't no, are you kidding? It wasn't no, that's crazy. My first response was, "I'm not rich." That was my first response. If I'm honest with myself, I don't often function from a spirit of large jar, abundant thinking. Rather, I often think of life in terms of what I don't have. I think of small jar. The resources I don't have. The relationships I don't have. The vocation I don't have. Small jar thinking. And yet, God's abundance is so massive. Where God has much to pour out for me, I often show up to receive that grace with the same small jar kind of thinking, just to tease. But it's so much more than that. I was telling a man who was making a living selling produce in a market in Kenya that I was not rich. And I can't believe that's what I said, because it was not true. As an American traveling to Kenya, I had bought plane tickets. Of course I was rich. As a woman pursuing her master's degree, I was extravagantly rich. But my view of abundance in that moment was skewed, and so my initial response matched that view. When I responded with, "I'm not rich," all I was thinking about was student debt or my lack of regular income because I was studying at the time and not working. Small jar of thinking. Is it possible that our view of abundance collectively may also be a little skewed? Even though it's bad theology and not even close to Lutheran theology, sometimes we are tempted to associate abundance from God with God's earned favor or blessing, as though God's grace was actually measurable or predictable based on our circumstances or the things that we do, things that we say. But this miracle shows us differently. It shows us that God's abundance, God's favor, is entirely a gift, and it is sourced in Jesus. Grace upon grace upon grace is more than wine at a celebration. It's about restoration of a family, restoration of relationships. This family does not have to experience shame or embarrassment or abandonment. This family does not need to longer fear isolation, but instead, what they receive is mercy and grace, and a pretty good party at that. Did you notice that this miracle happened in the context of community? Sometimes I think of it and I think it must have immediately happened just like that. But there were servants that had to work hard. There was Mary, the mother of Jesus, who promised her son, the Savior of the world. And he said something like, "Oh, what's that to you and to me?" Which, if I talked to my mom that way, it wouldn't go over so well. Mary says, "Do whatever he tells you." Then there's that bridegroom who tastes that wine on his lips. He calls out for the bridegroom, that chief steward that calls out for the bridegroom. This abundance thing, this large dark thinking, is not about us and Jesus alone, or receiving a blessing based on what we've done or left undone. But if you examine this miracle in the context of all the other miracles of the Gospel of John, and in the context of your own experience of God's abundance and grace, there's always an element of people who are isolated or ashamed, feeling restored and whole and being new. Healing the sick, making the blind see, raising the dead to life, filling a net full of fish after none had been caught all night long. The miracles of Jesus point to more than just the end result of healing, or sight, or life, or provision, or wine. While all of those results are great and miraculous and life-changing, even more life-changing is what they symbolize. That grace upon grace that God intends for those who God loves. Where there wasn't relationship, there's now community. Where there was isolation or rejection, there's now inclusion and acceptance. Where life was thought to be lost, there is life abundant. And here's where I think the miracle might be motivation for us. When we recognize the large jar kind of abundance with which we are surrounded today. Like Mary, who calls Jesus to do something. Like the servants who haul the water, like the chief steward who tastes the wine. We are also invited to do something. To share that abundance. To pour into the lives of others. To pour that lavish grace out that we have received. We can do something about the lack of grace in this world because we have large jars. Our gracious hosts in Kenya were located in what seemed to be like the middle of nowhere. I have no idea where all that food came from. The road to get there wasn't really a road. And where did they find the money to feed us? The previous family that we were with showed us a grove of mango trees that were suffering because of drought. But we had a feast. And it was hard for me. It was hard to eat that goat, to eat those termites, to drink that orange manna. But receive what we did because we recognized that it wasn't about food at all. It was about a meal that honored these people greatly, that deepened our relationships, that sustained community in Christ. Although we were literally from worlds apart. God pours into you, even though you may think that the cup or the jar is empty. It is not. God pours grace into you and fills that jar up to the brim. And when we gather, we remember that God emptied himself on a cross so that we could experience that kind of fullness. We can't fill our jars with anything else that will bring us that much satisfaction. Nothing else will bring the kind of comfort that we need. but that grace upon grace upon grace that Jesus pours into us again today. So what's beautiful about that is we have plenty to pour out. So where can we pour some of that grace, that fine wine that tastes so good, so that others can taste and see the goodness of God?
Especially those whom we carry in our hearts and our part of our life mission, hear it, sing it, Lord, in your mercy. And for this assembly, transform us and fill us with your life so that we pour out your love in service to the world. Bless all who work to provide food for others and guide us as a congregation as we meet at this time next Sunday to have our church business meeting. Lord, in your mercy. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died in faith. Inspire us by their witness and unite us in the eternal light of your presence. Lord, in your mercy. Now receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Please share the peace with Christ the Lord.
Thank you.
saying, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again, after supper, he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them all to drink, saying, this is the cup of the covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. You may be seated. Thank you.
We thank you, O God, that you have fed us at your table with bread and wine beyond compare, the very life of Christ for us. Send your Spirit with us now, that we may set the captive free. Use your gifts to build one another up, and in everything reflect the glory revealed in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We sing our sending song.
Permission to podcast the music in this service obtained from one license with license number A703757. For more information about St. Andrew Lutheran Church, please visit our website at www.salc-wausau.org. Thank you for listening and God's blessing be with you.